several years ago, declared October to be Respect Life Month. Now, traditionally, October was also dedicated especially to the Rosary, since the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary is on October 7th. It's fitting that we observe Respect Life Month in a time when the Church encourages us to seek the intercession, the prayers of the Mother of God. The feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, of course, for those of you who are Catholic history buffs, will remember that it commemorates the victory over the Turks at Lepanto in 1570, when it was clear that the Ottomans were about to invade Europe and end Christianity and Western civilization as we know it. Pope St. Pius V rallied the soldiers of Christ to pray the Rosary for peace and an end to war. It was only then that the brave Don Juan of Austria was able to engineer a naval battle that saved us all from extinction. That's why today, as we see the culture of death in so many ways invading our schools, our homes, and our families, that we must ask the intercession of Mary for protection against the assault of this modern obsession with death over life. Now, I know that many of you are going to be quick to point out, and rightly so, that the teaching of Christ and His Church is concerned more in its pro-life stance than just with stopping abortion. But today, I'm not going to focus so much on the end-of-life issues, euthanasia, capital punishment, and the like, partially because we had an entire day-long workshop in the parish yesterday about those. Many of you who are here this morning were able to join us yesterday for that. But this morning, at the beginning of Respect Life Month, I would like to meditate a little bit on those beginning, those origin of life issues. Although I have to say that I hate calling it an issue, because that makes it sound like it's some kind of debate point for politics or society to discuss, when in reality the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, is entirely and utterly understandable by everyone. There's nothing to discuss. It is what it is. It is the Word of God, and it is written on the hearts of men. Now, we're all aware that the Catholic Church has been perhaps the most active voice in the pro-life movement in the world. But that voice is not just a matter of trying to get women not to kill their unborn children. It's about much more than that. The first thing that we have to understand is that the Church offers to humanity a beautiful sense of the person as capable of participating in God's redeeming work. God doesn't just create us. He wants us to participate in His constant action of renewing and creating our world. It's a great thing that He invites us to be a part of. God made us all male or female, and that gender-specific characteristic of humanity is tied intrinsically to the possibility of bringing new life into the world. Fertility is a gift from God. It's a blessing to be celebrated. And of course, if you ever spend any time at Prince of Peace with all the babies around, we know that we celebrate that quite a lot around here, don't we? It's a great, great thing. But we also know that there are those who want to master it, dominate it, obliterate it, or just manipulate it. There are those who treat fertility as if it were some kind of disease. And in doing so, that's a direct attack on what it means to be a man or a woman. The Church has always rejected the idea of sterilization because it attacks the very creation of God of us as a man or as a woman. For the same reason, she's always consistently warned against artificial contraception, is putting a wedge between the procreative and the unitive aspects of marriage. Now, in 1968, remember that Pope Paul VI issued an encyclical letter called Humanae Vitae, in which he reiterated the church's condemnation of artificial contraception. And when this happened, lots of people, both inside and outside of the church, went absolutely wild. They're like, what is he thinking? What is he doing? They thought that he was insane for prophesizing that its widespread use would have disastrous consequences for increasing abortion, the ideology of gender, what it means to be married, increase of divorce, and a decrease of population. When he said these things, they're like, you're out of your mind. But this is exactly what has happened, and in a very short period of time. But the church's love of life, which is the real thing behind all of these teachings, is not just limited to what happens before birth. She knows that children are our future, and that we have to invest everything that we can in what is good and true and beautiful for our children. Church and society must do their utmost to protect and defend the rights of children. The church's painful journey through the sexual abuse crisis has led her to explore what it means to have a safe environment for everyone, and how our structures and practices must change to protect the innocence and the integrity of our children. Catholics and other people of goodwill are involved in counseling for families who were finding the news of a new one difficult. In our own parish, it is a beautiful thing to see how this movement has taken root among our own people. We've had families who have made a brave choice for the adoption of children whose parents didn't feel that they were up at that moment to the task of raising kids, and others who have offered themselves as foster families, opening up their homes to children in crisis situations. These are all aspects of responding to that beautiful gift of life. Now, I think that we have to do more to be of assistance to those mothers who have given up their child for adoption or foster care, because they also need the pastoral care of the church. The love that God has for all of us doesn't exclude anyone, and it doesn't exclude the activity of the church either. The church has always said that parents are the primary educators of their children, and so the church constantly resists encroachments by the state on the responsibilities of parents. And she helps parents by taking education seriously, by schools, religious education programs, youth groups, adult faith formation initiatives. They're all part of this pro-life cause, which is a lot more than just anti-death before birth. Now, of course, it is clear that the attitudes of Americans seem to be changing for the good in regards to abortion, that the numbers of abortions are going down, thanks be to God. Now, whether the attitudes of Americans are changing for the good in regards to a consistent ethic of life all across the board, that's another question. But I still find it somewhat shocking when I have people who come to me and say, Father, whether the church or you like it or not, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, and that's all there is to it. You have to respect that. Yet laws, even if they are enacted by a democratic process, are not infallible guides to virtuous behavior or to the reality of truth itself. In 1857, the United States Supreme Court in Dred Scott versus Sanford upheld slavery, the bondage of another human being. 1896, Plessy versus Ferguson enshrined as law the racist doctrine of separate but equal. I could go on and on. My friends, there is nothing about our time which suddenly invests the government with infallibility. Only the church, being faithful to the Word of God, has that charism. And as Americans and Catholics, we have a duty to resist unjust laws wherever we find them. And it's also important to remember that we are not bound by laws which are unjust either. We have that freedom as the sons and daughters of God. The right to life is the fundamental right upon which all others are based. If you can't trust a man to protect you from murder, then how can you trust him with any other rights? But the church is passionate about everything that helps human beings to flourish. Not only in the next world, not only how to get to heaven, but everything that helps us to flourish in this world as well. That is why, as Catholic Christians, we have to be proactive in how we engage our families, our friends, our co-workers, and our leaders when it comes to life. But that engagement must always come from a place of love and charity and a desire for helping the person to flourish. If it ever comes from a place of lack of understanding or judgment or a lack of mercy, then that's a message that will fall on deaf ears. You know, one of the most amazing and underreported events to take place in our country every year is the March for Life on Washington, D.C. When I was an undergraduate, I went to a college where every member of the student body went to Washington for the march. That's what an authentic Catholic education looks like. That's how our Catholic education forms virtuous citizens to be active participants in the public sphere. Because there are times in which we must stand up, stand out, and stand together against a culture of death. And that's more than just making our presence count at the March for Life. It's about creating a respect for life in our hearts and in our homes, and in cooperating with God's power in everything that we do, putting ourselves at the disposal of God's will to help everything which is authentically human, because that is also what is authentically holy. In the bulletin, you can read about all kinds of simple ways that you can be a part of the pro-life activity of our church. But I have to underscore this particular fact. This is not just another cause, yet another thing to do. There are lots of causes that are entirely worthy and wonderful, and it's important for Christians to be engaged in them, but this is not just another one of those. Like the Christians who prayed to repel an invader and won at the Battle of Lepanto to save Europe from extinction, we have the possibility to pray and to work to end forces of destruction, but even more importantly, to usher in a civilization of love. As Catholics, what we are all about is building this civilization of love. And there are all kinds of ways in which that happens, but we can't just kind of sit back in our laurels and expect someone else to take care of that for us. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ has put every single one of us in this place and in this time to do His will. It's time to stand up, to stand out, and to stand together.